What's going on, everybody? It's Woody, and I'm here to play another game of 1-2-3, and today's contestant is Clumsy But Earnest. Hi, Clumsy.
Hello.
How's it going?
How are you?
Good, good. So, I know, I thought this would be a fun way to get to know some of the community a little bit better, test some of the GWAers on their storytelling skills. Before we get started, though, you and I, we've talked a little bit, so this morning, it was just brisk enough to where I could actually go to my closet and pull out my favorite sweatshirt and kind of relax in like the coolish type weather because the weather's changing in seasons and whatnot. And then you also mentioned to me too that you are you're a very organized person. So my question to you before we get started with the game is, are you the kind of person that tends to like put your seasonal clothes away and then is unboxing that or kind of going back to like, you know, get your fall clothes or your spring clothes out? Is that kind of like a fun thing to do for you?
Yeah, I do rotate my closet out on the seasons. I usually just move, like, I have a spare closet where I move my stuff that I'm not currently using to, so it's not a huge deal.
When you put them away, because I tend to probably put more of my summer clothes away when I don't really want to, because it's probably like a couple hours affair sort of thing, but I tend to like put the t-shirts in one bag. See, the train's going by. That's fine. We're just going to go with it. we've been talking about the trains interrupting. But I put the t-shirts in one and I put the shorts in the other. And then you'll discover over time that like, oh my goodness, like, I had this t-shirt, I didn't realize. And then you'll want to go back to the box and be like, and redo the boxes and stuff. But you tend to be, like, you have a good enough memory to where if like, oh, I packed away my favorite shirt or I want to wear this dress or something, you would know which box to go to or which area.
Yeah, pretty much. I also really like getting rid of stuff. So usually when I do that, I end up getting rid of clothes too. So. And then, you know, when the season comes around, I'm like, where the heck is this thing? Sorry, I've got some sirens.
I was going to say, we're like both getting interrupted mutually. And that's fine. We'll just roll with it. This is the one take. This is the 1-2-3, one take, 1-2-3. So, okay, well, that's always good. It's just, you know, when the season's changed, for me, that can be an exciting time because you're like, oh, yay, fall clothes. But then you have to put away all your spring clothes and you're like, oh, I'm going to miss you. Because I just don't have room for all of it, you know? So, but you donate it enough to where it's like, well, even that can be kind of like, I'm sad, you know?
I mean, I have some stuff that I'll keep forever, but oh my Lord, what is...
That's like... awesome.
Okay, hopefully they go away.
Yeah. Well, they're just like, you know, hey, we gotta watch over, see how this game plays out. They're all just coming to see what's going to happen here. So, are you ready? So before we get started, just a quick review of the rules for everybody who hasn't played before. So the idea of this game is courtesy of the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast. The contestant tells me three stories from their past, one at a time. Now, two of the three stories are not real, but one of them is, and it's their job to fool me and my job to guess which story might be real. I get to ask the contestant clarifying questions and then look for additional details to uncover. And if I guess the real one correctly, I win. But if I don't, then the contestant wins. Now, I always play for a prize. And, you know, Clumsy, you and I, we've talked a little bit about... You shared a really great masala picture yesterday. And I was just like, oh my goodness. You were like, oh, I love cooking. But I also know people who cook in the kitchen are very selective about, like, what they buy and, like, you know, different spices and origins and stuff. So your prize for today, you can't hear it, but here. You hear that right there? That's not somebody at the door. I have this really solid piece of wood I've been trying to do something with for the longest time. So if you beat me, I'm going to make you a spice rack because I'm not going to buy you spices. I'm way out of my league when it comes to that. But I was like, hey, you know, like talking about seasons and seasonings. I know that's no relation, but, you know, the point is that I can.
It works.
Does it work? So
yeah,
I'll take this piece and I don't know how to, I guess I could probably like find rack material. So, but if you win and I can't guess your 1-2-3, then you're going to get that nifty little spice rack being made for you. So, So are you ready to play One True Three Clumsy?
Probably not, but let's do it.
All right, we're going to start by having you tell me your story, number one.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know which story I want to start with. Do you want to pick and I tell
No.
you a little bit about them, or?
Whichever one you feel like most comfortable to start with.
Okay. So this happened back in my senior year of high school. We were on a field trip for a science class. It was a geology class, and we went to a mountain, and it was one of those skyline lift things.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? And what we do is we go and we collect a sample. You know, it stops three or four times up the mountain, and we collect a sample at each stop on the way up. And so we broke up into groups, and have groups of about six, and we would load up into these the little carts to go up, and it was fine. And at the top was where we collect our final sample. And there's also like a little town up there where we had an hour or two of free time to buy souvenirs and eat and do whatever. And then we had a set time to meet back up to go back down the mountain.
So like an all-day field trip, basically.
Yeah,
Okay.
it was basically an all-day thing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's cool. And then so we went back, we all met back up, and this one guy had bought this, like, it was really big. It was like a liter or a liter and a half of this like creamy iced coffee stuff. And the worker there was like, "Hey, no food or drinks on the lifts." And he was like, "Oh, okay, no problem." So he goes ahead and he chugs the entire thing like right off the bat, just like downs the whole thing. And I should also mention that I am the only girl in this cart, so I'm in there with like five other teenage guys and me. And so this guy, he chugs it, and it's all fine, and we get on. And then as soon as we get off like the guide rail of where it swings around and goes to the part like where it's loose on the wire, the car like sways a little bit, or like the cart thing sways. And
Oh no.
this guy, I guess we'll just call him Chris. My name.
Yep, Chris.
I'll call him Chris. He kind of puts his head between his knees and like groans a little bit.
Oh no.
And like murmurs to himself something along the lines of like, "Oh God, I should not have chugged that." And oh, truck noise. And then so the other guys in the car, they think it's hilarious, and they're like slapping him on the back and like swaying the cart as much as they can. And I'm like freaking out because we're up in the air and this thing is swaying, and I'm like, "Oh my God, this guy's looking really sick." And about 5 minutes later, he does like projectile vomit, like
Oh
all inside the car, like three times. Like it was like once and then twice and then again. And there is like a little drain like in the
Yeah.
bottom, but
Yeah.
it really doesn't do much. And this coffee stuff, it just like the smell is like overwhelming,
No.
and it caused like a chain reaction in me, and I also lost my lunch and threw up. And it was really bad. And so it was probably like a 10 or 15 minute ride where we had to sit in there like all like
Oh
huddled up against the
no.
walls with like our t-shirts over our mouths and noses, like trying not to keep like throwing up on the way down.
Oh my goodness.
It was cool.
Oh man,
So
that's
that's
crazy.
my disgusting bodily fluid story.
All right. That I have a few questions, but we'll get back to it because I jotted down some notes. Let's go with story number two.
Okay, story number two. I was visiting my family's place, my Pepe's house. It's kind of like a backcountry sort of place. And I go there during the summers fairly often, and I decided to go out for a long walk because it was one of my last days there. And he had, this was a while ago. He's gone now, but he had two dogs, and so I took the dogs up with me into the hill, and there was a trail that I had been on once or twice, so I decided to walked on the trail and I went out for a couple hours and it was afternoon, so I decided to head back. But about 3 hours after that, my trail ended after I had backtracked and I realized that I was completely lost.
Oh no.
And I didn't know where I was, and I had lost the trail that I was supposed to be on to take me back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, you know, getting to be late afternoon and I was trying to stay calm and not freak out. So what I did, I decided to, you know, the dogs were starting to whine a little bit cause they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, well, the best thing I can do is mark my way back, you know, where I'm going on the trail and let the dogs hopefully lead me home because, you know, that's where they lived.
Right.
So luckily they did, and we got out back into the valley. However, they led me out to somebody else's property. And this is all sort of like farm country.
Right.
And I should also mention, I guess, at this point that these are companion dogs and not like working dogs or hunting dogs. So they don't really have that kind of training.
Yeah, they're not like homeward bound dogs where they know where they're going.
Yeah, okay. They're just, they're big German shepherds.
Gotcha.
Two of them. So I get to, I see this farmhouse off in the distance and it's getting to be, you know, pretty late in the afternoon. So I'm like so relieved and I have to walk across a pasture to get to it. So I open the gate and as soon as I do, I realize my mistakes because the dogs, they just take off.
Oh no.
And you know, I closed the gate behind me and I'm like, oh crap, what is happening? And I realized I had released these untrained German shepherds into someone's alpaca pasture.
Oh no. What?
And so this is not something you want to do in the country, be a stranger trespassing on someone's property, releasing your dogs on their livestock. So I'm like in complete panic mode and I decide to try and corner the female dog. And so I eventually I'm able to scruff her and mm-hmm. I've got her like under control and I'm trying to drag her over to where the guy dog is.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you know, they had been barking their heads off, making a ruckus, and I'm yelling at them. And the owner of the property comes out. I didn't see him, but he fires off a warning shot.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you see a stranger in your pasture with dogs mm-hmm. on your livestock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what that does, it sends the dog I had scruffed flying and I get dragged on the ground. I break my wrist and dislocate my shoulder.
What?
And, yeah, it was pretty awful. And I was, you know, in complete panic mode, adrenaline from the pain. And I just try and get in like the most submissive position I can think of. I put like, get on my knees, put one hand over my head and just, you know, like kind of put my head down.
For the neighbor, right? Not for the dogs, for the neighbor?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, they didn't shoot the dogs or me, so it all turned out okay, and none of the they didn't bite any of the livestock or anything, so there was no damages. But that's how I got injured in the random alpaca pasture.
Oh my goodness, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Did you and you and I'll ask another question once we get there, but you obviously eventually found your way back, so that's good.
Oh yeah, they knew my family name.
Oh, gotcha.
So as they were approaching me, I just, you know, I yelled out my family name, and they were like, okay. So yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Wow. They drove to the hospital.
Oh, they did. They ended up driving you to the hospital?
Oh yeah, they did.
Ah.
I was pretty injured.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Whew. All right. Story number three. I have so many questions, but I'm going to hold some of them. So we'll go to story three and we'll see after that.
Okay. Story three is a little bit crazy. So I was on vacation. Again, this is a summer story with a bunch of friends of mine. Their family had a lake cottage up on one of the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And so one night we were chilling out on the beach. We had a bonfire and there's about like 8 or 9 of us just hanging out, passing bottles around, mm-hmm. Playing music and stuff like that. Debating if I want to tell this part of the story, but I think it's kind of relevant to my state of mind. But somebody had brought let's just say, magic schnozberries for the
Okay.
party. And usually, like, I don't deal with anything magic. I
Right.
avoid magic. But this was a special occasion. So I had some schnozberries. And yeah, so it wasn't long before
Who ever heard of a
I.
schnozberry? Sorry.
Schnozberries, it's like schnozberry. yeah, so maybe about a half hour later, I think it's the greatest idea in the world if we were to gather as many people as we can and play a giant game of duck duck goose on the beach.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like, before you continue, please, let's just address the fact that that sounds like the awesomest idea ever, regardless of what state of mind you're in. Duck Duck Goose on the beach
Yeah,
sounds
I was
awesome.
on a mission to get this done, So,
Okay.
couple of friends, they, we all go down and we're rounding up people who are also kind of like partying on the beach and chilling out and
Yeah.
stuff. And we actually got like a fairly big group. It's a bit hazy for me at this point,
Sure.
but my friends say that there was like, 15 to 20 people
Okay.
sitting in this giant circle. And yeah, so it was great. Everyone was having a good time. Everyone brought their own drinks and just it was fun. And it went on for about 10 minutes before I finally got goosed.
Okay.
you know this, but I'm a runner, and at that point in my life, I was very, very a competitive runner.
Competitive.
And so when I get goosed, like the only thing I can think of is like, I better not get caught. I got to outrun this person.
Right.
So I run around the circle. I get halfway around and I kind of look over my shoulder and I see that they're gaining on me. So my friends tell me that what I did was instead of going around the circle, I just kept running at a tangent, like straight away from the entire group, like down the beach. Like all I could think of is like, I can't get caught. I can't get caught. And so
Oh my
I'm just like
goodness.
sprinting down the beach, like away from everybody. And apparently some of my friends tried to chase after me, but I just kept going and going. And
Because you didn't want to get caught.
yeah, and also I do remember one thing being like fascinated with how the sand was like cushy under my feet when I was running.
Gotcha.
Like that's
So
all
you're
I
barefoot.
remember.
Barefoot.
Yes,
Of
I
course.
was
I mean, you got to be
barefoot.
barefoot on the beach. Okay.
And yeah, so next thing I know, I'm waking up and I've got a pillow under my head and a blanket around me, and I'm on a really nice couch.
Oh, gotcha.
I realize I don't know where I am
Oh my
or
goodness.
what's happened. And I look over and there's this very nice looking lady standing, right above me. She goes, "Oh, good morning. How are you feeling?" And I just kind of, give her a blank stare, like, "Oh, fine." And so long story short, what happened is I had wandered off and essentially broke into this lady's sunroom and made myself at home on her couch and fell asleep. And luckily
What?
she didn't call the police or anything.
Sure. Like she probably saw you and she, I mean, if I saw, yeah, that's it. I'll get to it in a second, but I was just gonna say, like, she probably saw you and she was like, well, she doesn't look harmful, or she looks pretty harmless.
Yeah, I think yeah.
Was she cordial? Was she polite about it, or was she just
Oh
like,
yeah, she was super sweet. Like I would not have been that cool with it, but she had, I guess, heard me come in the night and we exchanged words and I don't remember this, but she let me sleep there. But essentially that's my story about how Duck Duck Goose turned into breaking and entering.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, that is crazy. That's you didn't actually play Duck Duck Goose. It sounds like you played Duck Duck Goo and just ran away.
Duck, duck, run away.
Duck Duck Runaway, yep. But then turned into breaking and entering. Wow. Those are three great stories. I don't know why you thought, I mean, you were a little apprehensive about this, but those are great stories. And the fact that one of them is true and two of them are not is really like, that's going to make my job that much more difficult. But I do have questions, so I'll do my best to try to get through them. I'm going to go back to story number one. Thank you for sharing the stories, by the way. Story number one. So your trip up and down the mountains, It was an all-day sort of thing. And you mentioned, obviously, the whole projectile vomit. Quick comment on that. You're kind of a you went into it, but you're kind of a group mentality sort of person. So if somebody's sick around you, it just kind of sets off this chain event for you, typically, or.
Yeah, I am a sympathy puker.
Okay, sympathy.
Yeah. It's not fun.
So I mean, regardless of who it is, I mean, obviously, I think exceptions can be made to like babies and sometimes significant others. Like if you're, I mean, if you're in the caring position, it's like, well, but I don't know. I was just thinking about like the fact that it was like guys, and then also maybe friends. Like the fact that you probably knew Chris, but maybe you weren't like, hey, Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, I
Okay.
mean, we were classmates. We didn't hang out,
Right.
but
But geology class for high school, that's pretty interesting.
yeah.
Let's see. All right, so then I'm just trying to see, because your description was so thorough. Creamy iced coffee. They had that at the gift shop then, or?
Well, no, it was like a little town up there.
Got
So
it.
there was like a 7-Eleven and restaurants and stuff.
But then they didn't tell you beforehand, like when you were going up, that you couldn't have food or drink, or maybe Chris didn't listen. Is that kind of probably what you think happened? He just blanked.
I mean, there was like a sign up. I don't think they explicitly, they might have said it. I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Gotcha. I'm just thinking like if before you get on the Skyline lift, if they would have said like no food or drinks going up, and then I mean, yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, and then no food or drinks coming down. But maybe, I
True.
mean, there's a lot of information. You're probably more focused on the trip anyway, so
Yeah.
and then did anybody else throw up, or is it just you and Chris?
Just me and Chris.
Oh, got it.
And I think what set me off more was just being in there with the smell.
Yeah.
So when I smell something like that, it's like,
Right, you can look
blah.
away, but you can't get rid of the smell right away, and that's a whole thing for
Yeah.
me. It kind of, without thinking about it too much, and we won't go into super heavy detail about it, but yeah. Oh, okay, is that too much? Do I gotta stop? Okay.
It's
We'll move on. I think I have all the information I need for that one. And then for the story number two, that was, you mentioned that was back when you were a kid or younger, is that right?
I was probably about, let's see. The year I dislocated my shoulder, that was junior year
Okay,
of high school.
gotcha.
Yeah.
So, and had you always been, because I know it sounds like, maybe you had gone like camping, but had you had experience like navigating at all, like not in a car, but like, or with a map? You just kind of thought, hey, it's a summer day, I'm gonna go for a walk, stay on the trail, and then you lost the trail. Is that kind of what happened, or?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I had been up there, pretty much every summer as a kid, but this trail I had only been on once or twice, and it had always been on horseback with somebody who lived nearby. So, like, while I was familiar with it, like, I didn't like notice any, like, I must have taken a turn off of it at some point without noticing it.
Got it.
So,
Okay.
yeah.
And then, do they raise alpacas up there? I don't know the area. And again, we may go back later and edit out the area just for your privacy if you
Oh yeah,
prefer.
in that area, I mean, it's fairly, there's several
Different.
alpaca
Okay.
farms, yeah.
Got it.
I
Okay.
don't think it's like the main livestock, but
Right. Gotcha. All right. And then, okay, so the only other question, I guess, was that the first time you actually heard gunshots, like in the country? Probably not, right?
No, I had heard them before.
Okay. I mean, I honestly would probably pee my pants if I heard a gunshot. I'd be freaking out, and I'd be like, sorry, and real quick. But
Yeah.
for you to be able to blurt out the family name, that probably helped a little bit. But then also,
Yeah.
are you calling out
Well,
the
that was
dogs?
after. That was like way after when they were approaching me.
So you heard the so you were far enough away where you heard the warning shot, and you probably, I'm guessing, like screamed, or like did you cry, like, no, wait, or something like that. You're just trying to
No,
gather up the
because
dogs, right?
no, I mean, I had a dog scruffed and the warning shot went off and the dog pulled me over and that's when I got
Oh,
really injured.
gotcha.
So like I was just panicking and hurt.
Oh. I'm sorry you got hurt, but I'm glad you got better.
Oh yeah, it was fine. I heal fast.
Yeah, definitely. And junior year, that's plenty of time to, I don't know if you did like sport. I know you said you did running, but rather to hurt your upper body than have to, recover from the injuries, like if you like broke a leg or
Yeah.
something, so.
Yeah, it was a broken wrist and a dislocated shoulder. Yeah, so it wasn't too serious, but
Gotcha. All right, story three. All right, so the Duck Duck Goose story. I know you said you had 15, 20 people. This is like on the beach, like when you were on the lakes. Is that right? Okay,
yes.
gotcha. And then, I guess what I would say in that question is, was there anybody as competitive as you when it came to Duck Duck Goose, or were they all kind of like, oh, we're just having fun, that sort of thing? Yeah?
Yeah, no one is as competitive as me in any situation usually. So
Oh my
yeah.
goodness. So you were the influence, and how, and it took you 10 minutes to get goosed?
I know.
That's
I
crazy.
was a little bit whiny about that.
Oh my goodness gracious. And of course we talked about being barefoot and kind of the beach experience. Did you do like volleyball? It was dark by that point, I'm guessing. So it's like, the fun kind of stuff, but what was I trying to say there? I was trying to hit a point on barefoot. Oh, whatever happened to your shoes? That's my question. Did you go back and claim your shoes after? Or did you leave them in the car or something?
I don't know. I mean, I was wearing sandals and I don't know where they went. I mean,
You had sandals on, then you were barefoot by the time you played the game. Then when you left the sunroom lady's house, you were still barefoot.
yeah, I don't know when I got to be barefoot. Probably like as we just like started hanging out on the beach at the start of the night, I probably kicked my shoes off, to be honest.
Gotcha.
So,
Okay. Well, I
yeah.
think I have everything I need to make my guess.
Okay.
But before I do, I just want to say thanks again for telling me these stories. And then what I'll do is I'll knock out the one that I definitely think isn't true, and then I'll pick the one that I do think is true, and then you'll let me know if I'm right. So I'm going to return back to story three for a second, because I do believe, obviously, going on vacation and being, excited enough to play Duck Duck Goose, it's a childhood like rite of passage to play Duck Duck Goose. I remember playing this in my gym. And even growing up in elementary school, we did this thing with the parachute. Have you done the parachute games? Where that was my favorite day in elementary
Where you
school.
like get inside of it?
And everybody's like crouched inside. But Duck Duck Goose, you can literally play that anywhere. Grown-ups, it's kind of like musical chairs too. It's just like, a rite of passage sort of thing. And I don't doubt that you probably had 15 to 20 people that you could play Duck Duck Goose with. My only thing is for you to tear straight down and then break and enter into somebody's house is a little dicey to me. And the fact that she woke up and she was like, "Good morning," is just kind of like, like I'm a little sketchy. So I believe that story number three is not true. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Woo! Okay, I only knocked out one of them
It's
though.
mostly true, though. There's
Which, okay, well, we'll get back to that because I'm curious to know which parts were true and which parts weren't. So now it's
Okay.
either the projectile vomit in the geology field trip, or the Summers and broken bones and alpaca pasture. So, so story number two to me, I'm thinking about all of the different details involved. Certainly, being up in the family, kind of in the country, you get a little disoriented. And I have Boy Scout experience, so I have some navigational experience. But in terms of like where the sun is positioned. But if I'm in an area that I really am not familiar with, I'm probably trying to find follow the noise. Maybe if there's like highway or like in worst case scenario, the sun. Maybe it wasn't sunny that day or whatever, but with the dogs involved and with all these different elements, it can be tricky. So I don't doubt that you certainly probably got lost and maybe even found your way to someone else's property. I've never experienced the gunshot aspect of it, so I don't know, like that would freak me out. And I told you, like I would probably like panic and be like, no, put my hands up or something like that. I would panic. But I'm trying to think, like, you know, to gather up two dogs, and you know, being companion dogs, probably, you know, I can imagine it can be challenging in that regard. So, and then of course, story number one is definitely there's elements to it that I completely empathize with the fact of, you know, being a sympathy projectile vomiter. And then also, like, not only that, but, like, you know, the fact that, like, you're in this situation with, like, other people, so it's, like, super uncomfortable because, like, well, I don't know, you know, I mean, you probably were mad at Chris after for being like, why'd you have to drink that? Come on, man, you know? But a lot of that story is believable as well, and I could totally see, you know, where that could be, you know, true as well. So that's my conflict right now, is one true or is two true? However, the big kind of giveaway for me in story number one is the fact that you were on this field trip for, I would say, hours at a time. You know, you went up the mountain and you were probably instructed by the teacher that if anybody had food or drink during the trip up, that you would be, you know, either kicked off or you wouldn't be able to continue. And I don't know, obviously, the nature of the field trip. It sounds like you stopped and grabbed samples a bunch along the way, but maybe you had to bring your own water. But in terms of the food and drink and taking the break up at the top, I am a little hesitant that A, Chris would be able to drink a quart and a half of creamy iced coffee, and then also that he would get sick in the basket, basically going back down. And I'd also think too, in story number two, that you probably wouldn't make up the fact that you broke bones. I don't think you would. I think it'd be a painful memory to kind of replay, and you probably had some, like, flashes back, like, you know, thinking about falling over, and like maybe you had a little bit of, like, pulse, like when you were telling the story. Like, for me, like when I think about old injuries, like the injury radiates, so that's like my experience as well. So I believe, based on that information, that your one true three is getting lost and getting trapped on the alpaca farm with two German shepherds. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah! But again, you're gonna say part of story number one is true, is that right?
No,
No.
that's a complete nothing in that story ever happened.
Well, you
It's
told it
completely made
excellently. You told
up.
me you told an excellent story. So, oh my goodness. So story two is real. Oh my goodness. Okay. And you're okay now. Were you in a cast for a little bit then?
Yeah, my wrist was.
No, but I don't want to break bones at all.
It
Ugh.
just popped my shoulder back in, and that was, a little sore.
Why are we talking about that? Okay, sorry.
Sorry,
No, it's
sorry,
okay, it's okay,
sorry.
it's okay. And then the dogs were okay, right? Like, you
Oh,
gathered them
yeah, the
up.
dogs were okay.
Okay.
I was not happy with them, but yeah.
Right. It'll definitely. So which part of the story three wasn't real?
The breaking and entering part. But what happened was I did run off from the game down the beach, but I mentioned that I remembered being fascinated with the feel of the sand. And eventually what happened was I just stopped and let my feet sink down into the sand, and then my friends caught up with me because I was just fascinated by that
Oh, yeah.
feel of sinking down as
Well,
the waves were coming up.
from what I hear, schnozberries will do that to you. They'll have that effect on you. The waves of the feel of the sand. Oh my goodness, that was so much fun. I'm so I'm I, you are a really good storyteller. You know that, right?
Oh.
You really are. Don't You can be humble. I know that, but I think you are. And I know you didn't
Oh,
win
thank
this.
you.
I know you didn't win this time, and I guess I'm gonna have to make this. I'm gonna have to. Maybe I'll do karate move for this piece of wood right here. I think that would be good. Would you like to see that? Like, maybe Danny McBride foot fist way, kind of crashing through the. Anyway, I'm just being goofy now. But yeah, that was fun. I really like playing that with you. And yeah, I'm glad that we were able to record this. Maybe next time when we play, I'll have to tell you three stories of mine, and then you'll have to guess which
Oh
one
yeah.
is true, because that would be fun.
I want to be the detective.
You Oh yeah, yep. And then of course, if I get it wrong, you can just, like, throw seasonings in my face and, like, you know, I don't know, toss some oregano in my eye.
don't know, more gullible or a worse liar, though, so I don't know.
I think I'm a pretty people talk about me being super punny, and I almost considered, given like the inside joke of eggs, I almost considered like giving a dozen eggs as the prize, but I was like, eh, that's she wouldn't really like that, that sort of thing. But the spice rack was a little bit more thoughtful, I thought. So but yeah, next time, and then we'll still play for something like spice rack or something. So or
Okay.
something that you're interested in besides like spices. But I thank you for playing. And again, if you guys want to play, you can definitely reach out to me. It's fun. Hopefully you guys think it's fun. But this has been One True Three, and I want to thank Clumsy but Ernest for joining. And thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And
It's been great.
yeah, and we'll talk soon, everybody.